I call to order the Simpsonville City Council business meeting for April the 14th, 2026. Clerk Clark, call the roll, please.
Yes, Mayor. Councilmember Aweir.
Here.
Councilmember Root.
Here.
Councilmember Williams.
Here.
Councilmember Roche.
Here.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
Here.
Councilmember Tuso.
Here.
Mayor Shoemaker.
Here. Please rise as you're able and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Each member of council has received a copy of the minutes from the March 10th business meeting. Are there any corrections, revisions, additions, or deletions? Hearing none, the minutes will stand approved as submitted. We had no one sign up for citizen comments, so we'll move on to item six, our business agenda items. 6A, second reading of Ordinance Z-2025-02 to propose rezoning of properties located at 118 Northeast Main Street and 124 Northeast Main Street. Mr. Derby, would you summarize, please?
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. This is the second reading for the Burdeth North development. I won't go too far into the details, but this is a mixed-use, multifamily, three-story project at the site of the old City Hall. They have proposed a concept plan with the parking area on the backside, on the hedge side of the product. Nothing has changed since the second reading, since the first reading. Staff did engage a parking study through a firm, and that is to be come back in the next couple weeks. So nothing has changed since first reading.
Thank you, Mr. Derby. A motion is in order. Councilmember Pinkerton.
Yeah, Mayor and Council, I move to approve the second reading of Ordinance Z-2025-02.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Pinkerton with a second from Councilmember Root. Discussion? Councilmember O'Rear.
Just out of curiosity, and just for the record, I guess, there's been a gap between the first and second reading. Any certain reason why we're here now, or just a business decision?
More a contractual business decision, very typical with the pause. I think a little bit of the streetscape, they had some questions they wanted to get finalized with the one-way project.
Okay.
That's it.
Thanks.
Council? Hearing no further discussion. On the motion to approve second reading of Ordinance Z-2025-02 to propose rezoning of properties located at 118 Northeast Main Street and 124 Northeast Main Street, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. Item 6B, second reading of Ordinance O-2026-03 to amend Division 2, Junk or Abandoned Vehicles, of Article 2, Nuisances of Chapter 18, Environment. Mr. Derby, would you summarize?
Thank you, Mayor. Council, this is to clarify the location where vehicles are stored on properties when they are deemed junk, derelict vehicles. This is mainly just for code of ordinances, for code enforcement purposes. Just be more streamlined with both derelict and junk vehicles. This only pertains to residential properties for this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Derby. Motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that Council approve second reading of Ordinance O-2026-03 to amend Division 2, Junk or Abandoned Vehicles of Article 2, Nuisances of Chapter 18, Environment.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Roche with a second by Councilmember Williams. Discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. Item 6C, first reading of Ordinance Z-2026-01 to propose rezoning of property located at 206 Ladine Court. Mr. Derby, would you summarize, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor. If you don't mind switching over to the PowerPoint, this one will help just for reference purposes. Thank you. This is 206. This was the previously rezoned ID Food Truck Rodeo Scuffletown site. It is being asked to be rezoned back to what it was previously as Business General. The applicant would like to market the site. It's easier to market as Business General without the ID restrictions on it. So nothing has changed since the committee of the whole meeting, and I can answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Derby. A motion is in order. Councilmember Roop.
Thank you. Mayor and Council, I make the motion that we approve first reading of Ordinance Z-2026-01 to propose rezoning of property located at 206 Layden Court.
Second.
The motion from Councilmember Roop with a second from Councilmember O'Rear. Discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0.
Thank you.
Item 6D, Resolution R-2026-08, to accept the allocation of community development block grant and home funds from the Greenville County Redevelopment Authority as set for program year 2026. Mr. Coker, would you summarize, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor, Council. This resolution would allow the City of Simpsonville to accept approximately $204,000 in CDBG and home funds from the Greenville County Redevelopment Authority. Those funds would be used for public service programs, infrastructure, and other related improvements, as well as affordable housing. So you heard 2 months ago from the GCRA representative. We also discussed the same item at our last committee of the whole meeting. Nothing's changed since then.
Thank you, Mr. Coker. A motion is in order. Councilmember Williams.
Mayor and Council, I move to approve Resolution R-2026-08 to accept the allocation of community development block grant and home funds from Greenville County Redevelopment Authority as set for program year 2026.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Williams with a second from Councilmember Roche. Discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. Item 6E, Resolution R-2026-09, to approve funding for an impact fee study and capital improvement plan that will fund certain municipal facilities and equipment, public safety needs, and recreation facilities park. Councilmember Pinkerton, will you summarize, please?
Yes, Council. Yes, this resolution will approve the administration to go ahead and seek a firm to fund a study for the impact fees and the capital improvement plan. Just a couple of things before I move the motion, just to point out, in the recent budget workshop, city administrator and staff recommended that we actually implement a capital improvement plan, which this will do, although they'll be slightly different. They'll dovetail each other in pointing out some of the things that the city needs to do overall in the future. Impact fees can provide for road improvements, intersections, traffic management, fire stations and apparatus, police facilities, and parks and recreation. In addition, all future building permits and existing subdivisions can be applied. All new phases of existing development, all new lots created by replatting of those developments, new multifamily buildings not yet permitted, and all commercial buildings not yet permitted. Under the circumstances, based on the study we went through last week or so with the council on our budget, I'm going to propose that I will certainly vote for this, and I hope everybody else will too. And just for clarity, this study is not just for parks. It's for a lot of different things, and obviously parks could be a part of that. So, Council, I move to approve Resolution R-202609 to approve funding for an impact fee study and capital improvement plan that will fund certain municipalities, facilities, and equipment, public safety needs, and recreation facilities.
Second.
A motion from Councilmember Pinkerton with a second from Councilmember O'Rear. Discussion?
Second.
Oh, did I have the second correct? Did I have it correct? It was Councilmember O'Rear?
Yes.
Right, okay. Discussion. Okay. Councilmember Rip.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A couple of questions. Have we gotten any dollar figures and how long that this study may take to complete?
I can answer that if
it's sure.
Okay. I think it's actually by a group, I got it written down here, called, and I might not pronounce this correctly, but it's Tiskler Bice, and it's about a six-month study, and the funding is actually on the resolution at $69,600 or $900, so it's right on the resolution.
And the timetable?
It looked like per their study would take about 6 months, 5 to 6 months to do it, and the last month and last portion of it would be a presentation to council.
Okay, thank you. I am, are we obligated under state law, maybe this is a question for council or councilor, that we have to do a study for this council to pass impact fee? Is this a necessity or is this something that we're just doing for information's sake so we do it correctly?
This is a necessary first step.
Okay.
We're kicking off. If you pass a resolution, you're initiating the process to implement impact fees. But it will not go into effect until the council passes an ordinance.
Okay.
After receipt of the impact fee study, the capital improvements plan. Mm-hmm. That's done under the direction of the Planning Commission.
Okay. Thank you. I'll just add to Councilmember Pinkerton's plea to council that if this were done 10, 15, 20 years ago, previous councils, we wouldn't have had the meeting that we had earlier in the week where we're trying to scrape by with money.
Yeah.
We would have had plenty of money to pay for certain things that now we are talking about raising the millage. My point a few years ago when we've argued this several times, my point is if you don't impose impact fees, people are going to end up paying higher taxes regardless. So whether it's the developer passes it to the individual, it's a moot point because then everybody ends up having to pay for these millage increases. So I am a big opponent of impact fees. I think developments should start taking some hit on that, whether they pass it or not. If they pass it, it doesn't affect every citizen. That's why I don't consider it a tax. It is literally called a fee, but I'm sure we'll argue this down the road. But I would ask council to at least pass this so we get some information that we need to see what we can do to not raise people's millage. Thank you.
Councilmember Tuso.
Did you want to speak?
No.
Okay. Councilmember Roche.
Although on the surface an impact fee sounds like a great way to build the budget, understanding the way impact fees work was a huge part of the process the last time this was introduced, I think a year or so ago. And what I learned was that impact fees are like a slow drip. You don't immediately get a fee from a developer just because they plan to develop 100 homes. You get that fee once that home is completely built. Everything here is built in phases, especially tract homes. The limitations that the state puts on the way that those funds can be used means that they have to be used on something that particular development actually impacts. It's not a slush fund that just goes to the city and can be used on anything. There are specific calculations and things in place that the state demands that we follow if we're going to pass impact fees and impose them. So this idea, and I know that it's popular public opinion, you know, the general public has never looked at any of this. And they just sling the word impact fee out there like it's going to make the biggest difference. It's going to slow growth. It's not. It's going to provide enough money that we never have to increase taxes. It's not. It's going to pave all of our streets. It's absolutely not. It's literally an impact fee is only going, again, going to touch whatever that development touches. So if it's sewer or water or fire just for that particular development, you will get some impact fee from it. I've heard other councils say to the general public, we would have had hundreds of thousands of dollars by now if this had been done. I don't know where that calculation's coming from. Impact fees are not that great. They absolutely would not have been if we passed it a year ago. So to say that we've missed out on hundreds of thousands of dollars in a year because we said no the last time this came to council is just not true. 10 years ago, I agree, it may have made an impact. But again, the meeting that we had last week, the public meeting, to discuss budgetary issues was because we have a really good admin and finance director that are looking ahead for the citizens of Simpsonville and saying, you know, everything's running right now. We have a great balance in the general fund. We're definitely in the black. We're doing well. But no planning has been done for 5 years from now. No planning has been done for 10 years from now on how to plan to buy new equipment, cars, you know, public works equipment, that sort of thing. That's something that we absolutely need as capital improvements in that way. But again, you can't designate impact fees to a line item that way or a fund that way that just goes to vehicles in the city. That's not the way impact fees work. I am begging this council to do more homework because although it may be politically favorable to tell people we're going to pass impact fees, that's going to slow growth and it's going to provide so much money to the city. There's so many variables going into it. One that was pointed out a year ago was that we don't really have a lot of empty land for developers to grab anymore. I think we're down to one nice big chunk on Harrison Bridge Road. Everything else has already been passed. What the general public is seeing now is things that have been passed in years past just now coming to fruition. So you're seeing more buildings, more townhomes. Those things are all things that have already been passed. You can't pass an impact fee study or pass an impact fee and impose it retroactive on the building that you see going on right now. I'd also like to point out that Greenville County just paid, I know it was more for the county than $69,900 for their impact fee study. And after wasting all that taxpayer money, they found out this isn't going to benefit us a bit. So literally, I am begging council to study this and figure this out before you sling those words out, because, like I say, it sounds great, and I was for it. I was completely for it before I did the homework a year ago and figured out how many regulations the state has in place, how many variables come into this, and how little we can actually achieve on that slow drip. We don't get a ton of money up front. It doesn't work that way. For that reason, I'm going to say no with my vote.
Councilmember O'Rear.
I thank Councilmember Pinkerton for bringing this back to the agenda again. I brought it about a year and a half ago or so and didn't make it across the finish line. Heck, we didn't even get to do a study. And that's the way you find out and you learn things. I mean, I've looked at impact fees pretty heavily myself. I'm not an attorney, so, but I do understand them, but the only way to truly understand this is to study it. And that's what we're doing today. Impact fees are imposed at the pulling of permits, not at the completion of projects. So those would be paid up front, whatever they end up being, whether it be $2,000, $10,000, whatever. This is a case of spending money to make money. We've been given the opportunity three or four times recently to annex land into the city. If you're concerned about how much land we have in the city, people are asking to come into the city. There might be a reason for that. I don't know. They give a lot, but we tend to be turning them down because it costs us money. This makes us money. And when it comes to, and I understand what Councilmember Roche is saying, you don't just take impact fee money and go buy stuff with it. It is regulated. But we've got towns and counties across this state that have imposed impact fees and figured out how to do just that, spend the money the proper way. And like Councilmember Pinkerton pointed out, we're going to do a capital assessment anyways. That's what this is. It's meant to be spent on capital, not paving a road. But that being said, any general fund monies that have been budgeted for those things that an impact fee can pay for now is money that can be used, because it is general fund money, for any of those projects that are off limits to impact fees. This isn't a magic bullet. I agree with that part. I mean, we're not going to become, you know, Dubai overnight by imposing impact fees, but it's a line of revenue that this city could use, and it comes from the people that are actively making money on the city as we expand. We know we need another park. We know we need a lot of things. We need more police. We need more vehicles. We need a lot of things. A lot of these things can be covered with impact fees. Even the mayor pointed out in his desire to acquire some property, impact fees can be part of that. There's a lot of flexibility. Right now we have 3 years to spend it. I think Greer just netted about $1 million last year on impact fees. Don't know how they're spending it, but that was a news article, $1 million. People of Simpson will read that. They read $1 million in impact fees. And it is a very politically popular topic. I don't see a loss here. We spend money. And if an impact fee, we'll just call it $5,000. That'll be about 12 houses we'll pay for this study. And then everything else beyond that is what it can be used for. So I wholeheartedly agree with impact fees. And we'll vote for this study, and we'll vote for whatever comes out through the study and through the Planning Commission also. Thanks.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
Yeah, just for clarification to comments were made, and Councilmember Rear pointed it out, impact fees are imposed when the permit is pulled, not when, at the end of the day when the house is sold and bought, but it's also pulled on permits on properties that are already in development, for instance, the settlement. So any new permit, if this passes and goes forward, any new permit pulled on any subdivision that's in development now, which I pointed out here, so it says all future building permits in existing subdivisions are subject to impact fees. So it's not necessarily true that you see what buildings that are already going on, we're not going to get any impact fees. It's when those permits are pulled. And another thing, and maybe this can go on for discussion, but to your point, you say you can only spend the money on what that development needs. That's not necessarily the case, the way I understand it. And maybe an attorney can, or anybody could clarify that, but it can be used for impacts, but not necessarily especially for that development. Is that the case?
Ask that question again. Mr.
Sorry. The point was made by the council person here that we could only spend impact fees gained on the development that it came from.
You can spend it on the public facilities within the service area in which it's designated.
Okay. And
there are exceptions to that if the development causes an impact on the public facilities outside that service area. It could also be used outside the service area. So there are some carve-outs for these service areas that are defined, that will be defined by your capital improvements plan if this is approved.
And that's just not for developments either. We also could, on a new commercial building, anything new that requires pulling a permit is going to be subject to an impact fee.
That is correct.
See? Yes. So it's not necessarily development area bound, so it's it can affect a lot of different things. Thanks.
There, yeah, both residential and non-residential will be, there will be fees calculated based upon the use.
Councilman Roche?
And on that note, I'd also like to point out that all existing homes, if you put an addition on your home, you do certain repairs to your home that require you to pull a permit, you would get an impact fee. So that's going to apply to anyone who owns a home here. A lot of things are passed, I think we can all agree, by government that are taxes disguised as fees. I believe this is one of them, because the developer is going to roll that fee in to their overall budget, and they are going to charge that per home, and the homeowner is going to pay that. So that's going to trickle down to us. I hope everybody's aware of that. That's going to be an extra tax, an extra fee that it costs to live here. On that note, I'd like to say that I find it surprising that many who are anti-tax would actually propose this or want to vote for it. This is going to impact every resident at some point. Anti-development. Some of us up here have said we're listening to the public. We want to slow development. Everybody hears us, traffic's out of control. Don't let anybody else in. Simpsonville's closed. They're begging us to slow things down. I've heard it said up here, too, that this will give us money. There's money to be made here. Well, how can you make money and be anti-development? What's the impact fee for? If we're not going to allow new builds, if we're not going to, if we don't want those impacts, then what's the impact fee for? It just seems contradictory to me that we want to impose fees on something we don't want to happen to begin with. That's all.
Councilmember Roop.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, yeah, a couple of things here. I said it before, and I guess it seems repeating. When we do not tax a developer, the neighborhood that's going in and the people that are living there impact the area. It's going to happen. When we don't address it with the developer, then everybody pays those taxes. When you put this fee to, and that's why it's not called a tax. I know we're arguing semantics, but it's not called an impact tax. It's called an impact fee. Would you call the trash cans that we pay a fee on each year a tax? It's not called a trash can tax. It's called a fee. It's a one-year, or it can be a one-time fee if you'd like. These are impact fees. Now, we can't tell the developer that they can't pass this fee on. We assume, I think we'd all agree here today, that they will. But they're going to pass that fee on to the person buying the house. They're not going to pass that fee to the rest of us. So each new development becomes the city as the whole problem by replacing roads and updating parks and all of these things that we do. It becomes everybody's problem when the developer doesn't have to pay that fee. So taxes will go up when, for everybody, when new developments come in, because we cannot continue to sustain that. Now, the other comment was we vote a lot of subdivisions developments down. Yes, I agree. I don't think the infrastructure is here. That's why I vote just about all of them down. But the point that Councilmember Pinkerton made was there are subdivisions being built right now that were passed before I even got on council. Some were passed while I was on council that I voted down that we could still, in theory, collect fees from. So that it doesn't have to be new developments. It can be things that have been passed a number of years ago that now we can go back and collect on. So everybody's taxes are going to go up if we don't do this. Everyone's going to pay, whether you're a resident of the city for 30 or 40 years or the new person that's just coming here buying a house from Florida or from New York, wherever they're moving from. Yes, the developer will pass that fee on, but we can't help what it does after we give the developer the fee. We can't tell him what he can do and what he can't. We can only say, if you're going to come here, it's going to impact the city. It's not right that the entire city has to pay it, so we're going to charge you these impact fees. So the argument whether it's a tax or a fee, I think, is a moot point. I don't consider it a tax. I consider a tax what everybody pays. If you go to a restaurant in the city, you're going to pay a tax. You don't get to exempt it. If you run city trash and buy a trash can, you're gonna pay that, right? There are certain things that, being in the city, you're going to pay taxes on. An impact fee does not impact the rest of the citizens here unless we don't charge the developer, who's only going to pass that fee on to a new homeowner or a person buying a home in that neighborhood. So to me, it's a fee that's being passed on by somebody that wants to live here versus somebody that's already lived here that's going to have to pay regardless. So I still would like for council to approve this. I think, you know, the comment was made, we should do our homework. This is what this item is doing, is allowing a professional to do the homework for us and present to us in a 5 or 6 month time frame what they would recommend, how these can be spent. And I think that's what we're trying to do. I think we are arguing a fee versus a tax, which is kind of put the cart before the horse here. We're just trying to figure out if this is something that we want to do after we get all of the information. So thank you.
Councilmember Williams.
So a lot of the focus for the impact fees is just on development. But as Councilmember Roche said, it's not just for development. So the fee that a development might have to pay will be passed on to the person buying the home. However, any new development, not just homes, but if a new restaurant were to come in and build, they're going to be charged that fee, and that fee is going to end up being passed down to the people coming to their restaurant. They're going to end up, you know, having to raise their prices to counteract the fee that they had to pay. Or somebody who's lived here for 40 years, 20 years, and they want to upgrade their home or put an addition on, they have to pay an impact fee. So it does affect everybody who lives here. It could, one way or another, not just big development. And if we are not approving as much development to be coming, which most of it has been coming to us to be annexed in, because there's not much land left in the city of Simpsonville to build development. And if we're turning a lot of that down, then we're not going to be getting a lot of money to be counteracting having to raise our millage rate at some point. Also, I wouldn't want having an impact fee to change the decision making on whether or not to approve a development either, because we could make money off that development, so it might get passed more easily, as opposed to how it really impacts the people surrounding that land to be annexed in or developed. I'm not for the impact fees because I do see a lot of ways where it can impact the community other than just a specific development. It is a good bit of money to put towards a study when we're trying to figure out our budget as it is. So I do believe that a lot of it can be, you know, put down on people in different ways than just development.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Roche.
I understand Mr. Roop's point about, you know, the new people that are moving in, the new homes that are being built are creating an impact. I would say to that every day you go out and put your key in your car and you pull it out on one of our roads, you're making an impact. Every time you need emergency services, you're making an impact. Every time you use any of the services that the city provides, you're making an impact. I think it's wrong to have this idea that we're going to stick it to the new people because they're making an impact on our way of life because we were here first. That whole attitude just, I just think it's awful. I see it all the time online, and I think that, you know, we need to start thinking of ourselves and everyone moving here as all part of the same community. The point was made earlier as well that we either charge this fee now or we'll have to raise the millage later. We're going to have to raise the millage if we want to have a 5-year or a 10-year plan like what was discussed at the budget meeting, regardless of this. It's not going to be one or the other. I'd really hate for people to think if we don't spend $70,000 to find out whether or not we should impose an impact fee, we're going to have to raise your taxes. That's just not the way it is. The functions are completely different for both. I do like the point that Councilmember Williams pointed out that, you know, at some point everybody will pay. Again, we're here to decide whether or not we want to expend close to $70,000 of taxpayer money just for a study. I think that's a lot of money. Maybe some up here don't think that's a lot of money, but again, I don't want us to spend that money to have somebody stand here and tell us these are the only areas where any sort of new development could happen within the city. We saw the map last time, a year ago. There was very little on there that could actually be developed as new. I'm not sure we're going to get the money back if we spend it. I know that those numbers have been slung around as if they're factual. It's all very up in the air at this point. And also, I have a question, and I think Mr. Derby might be able to answer. The part about the impact fees being retroactive on development that's already taking place, can you give any clarity to that? Because what we were told the last time was that it couldn't be, and now I'm hearing that it can.
Are you referring to stuff that's already been CO'd, people are living in it?
Stuff that's already been permitted, but they haven't broke ground. Can we go back and impose an impact fee on, for instance, the community here behind us that's already in, I don't know, second or third phase of building?
Settlement?
Yes, thank you.
Yes. I mean, they've already had approval of phases. They haven't pulled permits for everything. So there are certain portions, I think 6 through 9, have not been built. 6 has been started, but not have been built. So those would be applied to those because they haven't applied for actual building permits, just site work.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Rue?
Yeah, I just have a quick question. I meant to ask this last time. If we were to pass this, Councilor, down the road, after we see the impact fee, we see what it's going to be, and this council decides to pass it, we can put in that writing that if we didn't want it to affect somebody that was adding to their home, adding an addition, could we write that specific verbiage that they wouldn't have to pay the impact fee?
You could do that.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Pinkerton?
Yeah, I'll try to be real quick. When I brought this up at the previous meeting, one of the things I mentioned was, you're correct, this comments have been made, we have not approved certain or some of the new developments that have been brought forward. However, we're going to grow at some point. It's inevitable. You know, people might not like it, I might not like it, but town will die if they don't grow, and we won't be on this council forever. So part of this for me is to put this out there that future council and future citizens be able to gain that impact fee for our future budgets. So again, this, you're correct. And I don't believe really, I know we had a picture that said we don't have a whole lot more room to grow, but we approved a church, West Georgia Road, that we shoestringed around to get to it and approved it. It can be done again. And again, it might not be this council, it could be others. And there's a lot of property out there. People are moving into the state in droves. So for me, this is not necessarily going to affect us in the next 60 days or a year. It's going to affect us in the long term, and I think that's good for the city.
Councilmember Roche?
I would question council's comment on whether or not we can change the verbiage, because it's a state-regulated issue, law. It's not, they have certain things written in there. If I remember right, it's all permitted new builds. Anyway, I think it needs some.
I do believe with dwelling units, residential dwelling units, that you can provide an exemption for not being subject to an impact fee if it increases the size of the square footage of an existing dwelling unit. I do believe that's permissible for council to do that within the ordinance.
Okay. But if somebody wanted to build, like, let's say, a mother-in-law suite that's detached, that would be considered new build?
Accessory unit would likely be treated differently than.
Okay.
I'd have to look at that to verify, but I think it would be treated differently.
Yes. And so the property that we're looking at here with the church, I know they just add a wing and another wing every 5 years to the existing sanctuary. Would they be impacted with the addition?
Would church be
impacted? Yeah, so as long as it would be attached to the building, then they wouldn't receive an impact fee.
That's correct.
Okay. That seems counterproductive to me because the impact would be more people patronizing that particular building. So if we want to collect an impact fee because we want to make money, then I don't know why we would limit it.
Councilmember O'Rear?
You literally have to create a second space to incur an impact fee. How many times does that happen? We can argue every little minuscule thing that could happen from here. There's a lot of things that could happen. But to address Councilmember Williams about businesses, industrial and residential are three different impact fees. The ones I've seen published are pretty darn close in cost. If let's just say if it's a $5,000 residential, it's not too far off for business or industrial. It's not like they're getting a $50,000 impact fee. That's money that could be recouped by a business in a flash. But yes, they would be part of the impact fees also. I don't understand the thinking. I can't remember what basketball player said this, but pretty much, you know, the shot you're always going to miss is the one you don't take. And this is us taking a shot, and we're going to see. We want to see what's there and what we can use it for. There's still a lot of potential, like Director Derby said, that, you know, there's a lot of houses. I think he and I communicated about a month ago or so. There's about 700 roughly or so houses left in the settlement to pull permits on. 700 homes. Even if it was a $1,000 impact fee, that's $700,000 right there. And the expansion of the city, like Councilmember Pinkerton said, it's coming. We all know it. Everyone knows it. We may not like it. The speed it's coming, and I think this council knows that, but it is coming, so there will be others. But to say we shouldn't fund something because it won't make enough, it'll take about 12 houses to make the cost of this up. That's not hard math to do. So, I mean, you can disagree with what gets passed on or whatnot. Builders have a ton of flexibility in how they finance their homes. And I know Councilmember O'Shea knows all about this, being in that business, is that, you know, they can buy down points. They can pay closing costs. These are things that, you know, Chad, the home seller, can't do. I can't afford to pay $5,000 in closing costs. Well, if they pay all $5,000 in closing costs for someone, well, that person just made their impact fees right back. They have that flexibility. So it's the market is not competitive between new development and the older structures, because they have the money and the flexibility to offer nice financing perks. So there's really no lose here. The only lose is, yeah, we're going to spend money to find out how much money is can be made out there. And like Councilmember Pinkerton said, this isn't a, or maybe it's Councilmember Root, but this isn't a tomorrow thing. This is a down the road thing. It's today. It's when this gets implemented, and everything down the road. We may all be gone from this council. They'll still be collecting any impact fees. And that will far exceed any cost it's going to have for us to do this.
Councilmember Rocha?
I'd like to just point out the Fountain Inn is a perfect example. They paid for the study, they passed the impact fees, and then when the big development came, they all screamed and shouted, "We don't want it." So what was the point? Someone on this council even went and spoke at their meeting to tell them that we didn't want the impact of that development either. So again, it's a conundrum to sit here and say, we don't want impacts, but we want the fees that an impact is going to make. So either we're going to pass this, and then there's going to be, as Councilmember Williams pointed out, now we have an incentive to pass everything because we're going to make money. And that seems really, it just seems really wrong. We've been trying to get money in the fund for a stormwater study. I would much rather put $70,000 into that stormwater study, because we know for sure we have a stormwater issue in Simpsonville. I would rather put that money into any traffic study anywhere that will help us get around better. That would be a better expenditure of $70,000. I don't want to spend $70,000 to have somebody stand here and say, well, you know, it doesn't really behoove you to pass this anyway. And I think we can look at everything. I know. There's X number of houses, et cetera. I just don't think it's going to yield us anything. Thank you.
Council? Administrator Coker, council passed Resolution 2026-03, Parks Acquisition and Funding Structure Exploration, on February 10th. What's the status of that particular item?
We have a draft. Staff and I have been working. We have a draft memo. It's not yet complete.
So I think that without having the results of that particular thing, I think we're a little premature on passing this. I would like to know what the results of that are. I said at the time I could live with an impact fee that was strictly dedicated to acquiring land for parks or to do with parks. I'm not a fan of impact fees in general. Not all fees are taxes, but our sanitation fee is a tax. It is required that you pay it if you are a property owner. Close to 9,000 properties in the city of Simpsonville, all 9,000 have to pay it. That's tax. You can hide it behind the word fee, but it's a tax because it's involuntary. It's the same thing with a development fee. You're the buyer of that property, you don't have a choice. It's plowed into the price, even if it's canceled out by some magic of the developer, which I don't believe is going to happen. Developers don't pay impact fees. They pass that along to the buyer. Comparing or considering how things are going in Greer, I think it's actually a great example, because Greer is aggressively annexing land and growing their city. They've almost grown to the North Carolina line. I mean, they are very aggressively growing. So the fact that they're bringing in $1 million in impact fees, well, that kind of goes with the amount of growth that they have aggressively pursued. Here, we have turned down 4 consecutive developments. So there's not going to be any impact fees coming from things that you turn down. But the bigger issue is that you're also turning down the recurring revenue that comes from property taxes. Impact fees are one and done. But we're turning down recurring revenue from developments and people who are asking to annex into the city. So I'm agreeing with some other things that council members have said that doesn't seem like this is about growth. This seems like it's the opposite of that. So I'm opposed to this particular measure. Any further comments from council? Clerk Clark, would you do a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Councilmember O'Rear.
Yes.
Councilmember Root.
Yes.
Councilmember Williams.
No.
Councilmember Roche.
No.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
Yes.
Councilmember Tuso.
Yes.
Mayor Shoemaker.
No. That motion carries by a vote of 4-3 with Council Members Williams, Roche, and Mayor Shoemaker voting in the negative. Item 6F, Resolution R-2026-10, to include in the fiscal year 2026-2027 budget and make immediately effective an approved updated fee schedule for processing public records per request per South Carolina Code 30-4-30, paragraph B of the South Carolina Freedom of Information Act. Community Relations Specialist Campbell, will you summarize, please?
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor and Council, you have Resolution R-2026-10. This would approve a fee schedule for Freedom of Information Act request for the new budget and make this fee schedule effective immediately. The rationale for this is that it would have a record of council approval for a FOIA request fee schedule, and it implements updates and changes that are for efficiency. While there's not a substantive change from the last proposed fee schedule, there was removal of a sentence from the first footnote. It stated the exception for getting a free incident report. This exception applies only to incident reports for a crime. The Simpsonville Police Department asked that that be removed, and that it kind of muddied the waters, given that not all incident reports are necessarily for crimes. You create an incident report for information only, wellness checks, civil issues for when an officer is required on scene and someone is labeled a victim. So don't want to indicate the exception exclusively applies to crimes, and that helps us avoid misleading or inaccurate language. In your packet is Exhibit A, the proposed fee schedule, with Exhibit B, the current one. And this is for final approval of the resolution. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Campbell. The motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that council approve Resolution R-2026-10 to include the fiscal year 2026-2027 budget and make immediately effective an approved updated fee schedule for processing public records requests per South Carolina Code 30-4-30B of South Carolina Freedom of Information Act, South Carolina Code Title 30, Chapter 4.
Second.
The motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Pinkerton. Discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. On the motion to approve Resolution R-2026-10, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0.
Thank you, Council.
That concludes all of the items on our business agenda. If there are no objections, we will stand adjourned.